Great things is taking place. Great and mighty things to those that can see it. There's great things taking place. Some people are not spiritual, and they never see spiritual things. Some people never take time to be holy. You know, you're never going to find time to be holy. There'll never be a day like that. The Bible said, take time to be holy. And if you're waiting for a day when you're going to have a little time to pray, a little time to seek God, or you're waiting for the time when you're going to feel like doing those things, I can tell you there's never going to be a day like that. The flesh will always feel like doing whatever the devil tells it to do. It's got a mind of its own. But if you're ever going to be holy, you're going to have to take time to be holy. Let's read a little bit from over in St. Mark, the second chapter. In the 33rd verse, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers, night and day. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You know, a lot of people are in the same condition that these parents found themselves in. They've been going down the trail for a long time and they've gone long ways. But really, Jesus isn't with them. They're real religious and they're doing religious things. But really, Jesus isn't with them. The parents thought all the time that Jesus was with them. They were so sure that Jesus was with them. But after so long a time, after they'd gotten down the way, you know, on their journey, they suddenly discovered that Jesus was with the wise men. Jesus is always found with the wise men, those that love him, those that love wisdom and understanding, those that want to do things according to his will and way, those that wants to walk according to his way of life. He's always found with the wise men. never with those that are not concerned. So then, it's a wonderful thing here when you think of the child being born to wax great, to have great wisdom and great power and great understanding. And right here it's told how that being this type person, he also sought people that he could relate to. You know, a wise man wants to walk with a wise man. A wise man doesn't care to be around a fool because he wants to relate to somebody or talk to somebody that can relate back to him, you know, or talk back to him. It would do no good to walk out here and talk to an elephant, ask an elephant a bunch of questions. You couldn't be interested in doing that because you know that you're not going to get an answer. So then a person that's wise, they long to communicate with people that are wise. They long to talk to somebody that they can receive something from or share something with. That's why that we talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ here at Bethlehem. It is something that God Himself instigated. It is something that is great and mighty. It is the wisdom of Almighty God. We've become acquainted with God. And we've learned to relate to God. And because of this, then we desire also that you find this wonderful thing and that you discover this wonderful means of communication with God. We want to share with you something that we also may reap something from you. We want to talk to you as a wise man. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as wise men, not as unto fools. I'd like to speak also unto you as unto spirituals, not as unto carnal people. But I'd like to speak to you in such a way that you can relate to me and I can relate to you and that we might have something in common. That is Jesus Christ Himself. We might have that in common, that we might have bases of communication. And so then, we seek to share with you the wonderful glad tidings of great joy that God has set down deep within our heart. This is a wonderful, exciting thing to me. We talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ. We try to bring the historical side of the revelation of Jesus Christ. We try to bring the future concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we try to bring the present day truth of what is happening right now concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. Even the things that happened to Brother Cobbs a few days ago. When was it that it happened? Yesterday morning. Not a few days ago, but yesterday morning. This thing was an outstanding thing. And looking at it, we saw the beautiful understanding of God that had been so carefully concealed within this wonderful thing. As we saw this, we could see the hand of God and see the mind of God, see the great expose of the mind of God as it manifested itself and as it spoke to us from the thing that took place over there at the crossing. We had spoke to Brother Clyde and some of them concerning the wound in the head and how that he received this place on the head and how that it related back to Brother Branham's crash and Brother Branham's problem of the head wound. And we spoke of how that this little cap that Brother Clyde had been wearing with the name Branham on it related to the incident, how that he had worn it when he come up here from Macon and how he'd been wearing it and how that he had this wreck, how that it had to do with Macon, Georgia and the meeting that we had there and how that it related to Brother Jack Palmer and that concerning the Palmer worm in that the Bible speaks of this body as being the worm in that it comes from the first birth. It comes from the serpent. Everything, it is shown that it comes from the serpent. It is alive that comes from the serpent. And God calls it the worm because He refers to it as the generation of vipers or as the serpent. God said, thy worm Jacob, I will help thee. And so then anything that happens to our natural person has to do with the serpent or the first birth. And so then that having to do with the pommel worm and having to do with Brother Clyde, in that happened to his natural body, immediately we were told that Mr. Palmer over here came for the truck that he was in when he had the crash, the little truck or whatever, I believe. They said come from the land of the rising sun in the sense of its origin and had to do with resurrection. So then I understand that the palmer worm didn't get it. Whereas the Bible says just before his Holy One saw corruption that he brought him forth. Whereas Brother Palmer had to do with Brother Branham's following and Brother Clyde relating to Brother Branham's following, in that Brother Clyde related to Brother Jack Palmer inasmuch as his relatives go to Brother Palmer's church, and Brother Palmer having been the congregational wholeness preacher there in Macon, the family was under his leadership even back in those days. After that, he became a Brother Branham follower, became a man of renown all over the different parts of the country. Whereas Brother Jack and I had also been together in our early ministry, we had a picture taken together. Whereas this picture, they're just beginning to bring out. We saw it the day of his crash, and they had brought it out, and there stood me and Brother Jack together. Whereas this relates back to the incident in Macon when I started to work there, and Brother Jack and I, we had a cross because I did not agree with Brother Beeler coming to hold a meeting, in that I did not know Brother Beeler, and Brother Jack was upset because I didn't take his word for, concerning the man's integrity. So then we really had the work there, and it was ours, but the cross up, Brother Jack, he took the work and went on with it, which had to do with this great, wonderful cycle and turn of event. Now, coming around, Brother Clyde was the only one that come up here out of the family. He's the only one that went over to that which was new, representing that which is the new harvest or the crossing of the Jordan. That is Cobb's the new harvest. So then he represented that, and this being typical of Brother Branham, then the Lord used that as the bodily redemption thing concerning that happened in Macon in our meeting and Brother Franklin Walden going there and the different things concerning Brother Jack Palmer. So then at the crossing, we say at the cross of Calvary, the crossing at Mount Vernon, right there where the light is given. Here comes the wreck. The Bible said, I beheld Satan his lightning fall from heaven. Right there at that particular crossing where we had planned to build this church. And instead they put the light company to show forth that this would be the light of the world. Here the crossing, here the crash. All of a sudden, there was a crash, a wound in the head. Brother Clyde should be a dead man. According to the speed of the car and being hit and whatever, he should be a dead man. But it indicates, rather than the death of Brother Branham, as it was with Brother Branham in the first going through the crash of Calvary and the splitting of the head, the rending of the veil, and then going into death down in the heart of the earth, and that concerning Junior Jackson, the sleeper, we spoke of it. Rather than that, Brother Clyde had to do with the resurrection of Brother Branham and that which came forth out of death, in that the palmer worm did not get the body. Whereas the rest of his family is there with Brother Palmer, and Brother Palmer has to do in his type with the end of Brother Branham's ministry, and just before it, it sees corruption. So, Mr. Palmer didn't get the car. Now, in this, a beautiful thing is seen in the revelation of the Lord. When the law came, or that is the state patrol, I understand that they wrote the citation after this manner. The way they wrote it up, it shows Brother Clyde already having had His court session, it's already passed. The date and everything that was on the citation, it's already passed. Or that's the way they understood it. See, the law folded up and laid away and put behind us. Death being overcome in that he survived the crash that should have been his death. But death being conquered and overcome, thus the law is behind, folded up and laid away without any charge against him whatsoever, according to the citation. And then on the other hand, this being the Lord letting me put the writings off, that is to contact the state highway, the Lord made allowance for this crash. Because immediately we've contacted him to do something about it again to put death behind us, in that that is a sure death over that crossing if you're not careful. So in seeing the beauty of this, it all run together with Brother Branham being down at Brother Jack Moore's at his last meeting, Life Tabernacle, which is in Louisiana, and running in harmony with the fact that Brother Conrad was in Louisiana, being the Louisiana purchase, having to do with the purchase possession, the redemption of the body, and those stocks as it was the preparation of the soul, the ones that our brother sent here, the boat that also came here, and him coming here at this very time. And it directly related to California, inasmuch as Brother Branham never joined anything but the full gospel businessmen. The full gospel businessmen, as we brought it out in Revelation, having to do with Brother Branham's death, in that it was Joseph of Arimathea, the rich man, who gave forth the tomb for the burial. Brother Branham, more or less, was buried in the full gospel businessmen because they had the power to make him or break him in the sense of publication. But anyway, having joined that, and that was the only thing he joined up with, it indicated his burial, his ministry, his death, and then his burial. And we brought it out how that his body went to California in the sense of the burial in the rich man's tomb. That is, it was a millionaire that started the full gospel businessman move, Shakarian. Then his body going there, that was part of the Brother Branham following. And then his soul going into hell, which was the hot desert, being his children and his wife, that which he loved with all of his heart, a man's very soul. And then his spirit going into the Carolinas, in that the Carolina area was that which kept his message alive. And today is the stronghold to Brother Branham's following. All of this going together, the soul part having to do with Indiana or Indians or the area of the Indians, and also with Arizona, that is the red man, or as we say, the soul going into hell. All of this fitting together, the body going into California, Brother Conrad being in California when Joshua came along. So then Joshua being in the boat with us when we was down in Louisiana that had to do with the redemption and the crossing of the Jordan as we went up and down the intercoastals in the boat, and then the boat come all the way up here. The redemption of the body is also relates to our boat and the things that's taken place. Also relating to the fact that Brother Bob and the wife comes down from New Jersey, all of this happening right now, on the very same day or at the same time that we took the children over to the park and took the little journey through the wilderness. Having found there, as we went through the wilderness, having found there an eagle with the wing broken off. As we made the journey coming around this way, the first thing we noticed going through the gates, Brother Don Kleinex noticed that the law was going out of his automobile. That is, the patrolman had left his automobile. So then we went through the gate, no hindrance. Johnny, the security, which was supposed to be there, Johnny wasn't there. So we got there, and there was a tabernacle. They went over to the tabernacle and, and they left a few things, and then they crossed out over the bridge, cooked them a little bite, and went down through the trail, nature's trail. And while they were making their journey, all of a sudden here some people come down, numbers of boys and girls come down into another area. And as they did, we went around this way, and they come right into the wilderness. And as we come out of the wilderness this way, they were left in the wilderness here. And just as we come out, we run across about 7 big hurdles of fresh dirt, whereas the children was marching, you know, in stride and in step. And all of a sudden, when they hit these hurdles, it reminded me of the church ages. They just got scattered and went every way. Some of them stumbled, some of them fell. Different things happened to them. But just as they got over the hurdle, they come out of the wilderness. And just as they come out of the wilderness, Brother Ron's little boy, being related to his dad, you know, the pilot, the air, the heavenlies, all of a sudden he finds an eagle with the wing missing. And then a little while he finds the wing, he brings it over to us, and we put it together. It was an eagle just like the one I used to have over my bed there. An eagle, we put it back together. Brother Don caught a picture, and immediately it struck our hearts. Brother Branham, the fresh dirt, the resurrection, coming out of the church ages, in that Calvary is death, and Jesus or the Jews don't come out until the end of the church ages. For that going down at the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be at the end of the church age in the resurrection, other than the resurrection itself? So then we saw the beauty of it, and of course at the end of the church age, the eagle with the broken wing is put back together. Brother Branham's redemption that had to do with, that is, Brother Branham's eagle that could fly no more because Brother Branham was gone and his eagle message was gone, in that his followers did not have anybody to take them up into the heavenlands again. Putting that back together, bringing a resurrection, bringing the message of God that moved in that age back to move in this age, as the restoration of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Putting the wing back on the eagle, bringing it to our publications, in that Don took the picture and will insert it in our publications to go forth as the message from Little Bethlehem. So then in this right there, we split into threes. I went around with Joseph this way and come over the little bridge. Brother Frank, he went around this way with some children, and Brother Jim went around this way in the back of him with some children. And all three of us came together like a body, soul, and spirit coming out of that grave to the coming together of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We watched the beauty of it on the same day, at almost, I would say, the same time that we passed through the gates into that area. Brother Clyde had his crash. We figured it up, it must have been at the same hour, the same time. He had his crash. And all of it was beautifully joined together, in that God worked it out so marvelous to show that crash, and this time not unto death, but overcoming death unto life. And it was such a beautiful thing. These things that so beautifully fit together with many multiplied other things that would take all night long to talk to you about. I thought it was so marvelous that God at this very moment would send Bob and his wife down from the state of New Jersey. New Jersey, that has to do with the New England states, that has to do with Canaan land, that has to do with heaven. And the vision that Chuck Kistler had, or Charles, Chuck having the vision that we nail the new Constitution on the White House door. All of a sudden, here comes Brother Bob coming down here. The marriage is taking place. The marriage supper. All these things beginning to take place. And we just had made the statement that this was the beginning of that new order, of that new constitution. We had just given David Paul the Eldorado that had to do with the rod. The man-child being caught up to the throne. He was telling me today that he's going to get in here with us and really go and help us. And of course, you know that this pulpit does have to do with the throne, the seven church ages, all the candlesticks. It was about the throne. It has its types. It has its shadows. God built it like this, the flashing of these lights. The Bible said in His, there in the kingdom of God was seen the lightning and the flashing and the thundering and whatever. Now, we hear the trumpets as they blast out on them up here that came forth from that when the veil was rent. Brother JT said he saw this as being that very thing. He saw it in a vision that it was the Ark of the Covenant, which John saw unveiled in Revelation, where the trumpets sounded and the different things. The angels of God that came forth from there, it is a true fact that we have here typically those angels concerning our seven governors. And everything is just according to the way that it was in the book of Revelation and the days of Moses. And we could go on and go on. God did this. Brother Pike didn't do this. My mind would never have conceived this. I could have never kept it in my mind, the hundreds and thousands, millions of things that God has done that He has placed in my spirit. There would be no way that a human mind could contain this. I don't depend on my human mind to do it. I never depended on my human mind to build this. I just followed God and He did what He wanted to by using this little feeble brain of mine and taking me that was a foolish and a base thing that knew nothing. To be able to do this to confound the wise and those that are intelligent. But anyway, God did it. He had His way, and we could go on and on speaking about the revelation and showing it to you here and the different things. We could write a great book about it. But I said that to say this, that right at this time, my brother coming down from New Jersey, and we was talking today how he bought some benches from over in the areas of Philadelphia. He told me, he said he had some benches, and I thought, surely they got a connection with Philadelphia because that's where the state house was, you know. And sure enough, he spoke about getting them from there and how that he had to put several of them upstairs, and five of them, you know, he had to divide in half. It was such a beautiful thing in the rending of the veil and where that the state house in this, that the state house had helped the old veil that was cracked down the middle, or the rent veil of liberty, in that Jesus is our liberty veil that was rent for our liberty. Whereas it says on the liberty veil, you know, to sound it throughout the land and declare liberty to all the people according to the scriptures. They quote a scripture. So it was so beautiful coming down in Canaan land, coming in, all the new order of that relates to the New England states. Brother Bob coming down, Brother Horace, having to do with that black horse rider, you know, and that dark age coming in of tribulation first, and then here comes Brother Bob down, the marriage supper taking place, everything getting ready, folks, for the rapture, which has to do with Pentecost. Oh, I understand that at the time that they're having the supper over here at the Holiday Inn, whereas the Holiday Inn itself has to do with the day of the Sabbath, the rest, the holiday. We spoke of it a long time ago. At the Holiday Inn, we're having the supper. All of a sudden, there are going to be hundreds and thousands of people going to be gathered together for the dogs about that time. You know, Jesus likened the Gentile to the dogs. And all the dogs is going to be gathering together about that time. Just in time to see that lovely bride step out of the midst of the dogs and go to be with Jesus. Right there, it has to do with Pentecost, because Pentecost had to do with that very thing. And Pentecost was immediately after Calvary, which had to do with Brother Clyde's wreck. Also, if that be the rapture, then in the church ages comes the dark age, which means the tribulation, or the 7 weeks of Daniel. So it runs one and the same. The wilderness from Egypt to Canaan, the dark age from Calvary to the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the sevenfold light of the end time, which was the seven candlesticks about the throne that has to do with our governors here, and this being the city of seven governors. The reinstating of the constitution that Washington, the father of our country, gave us, in that they did away with it. Washington, the Spirit of Truth, the great Holy Spirit, having given it, they did away with it. Here we come to Mount Vernon, right here in this area for the restoration, and having to do with going over to the little White House, whereas they are right at this time putting that in the songbook and going to put forth the songs of the Lamb, because the Bible said when they were gathered together in the ceiling, there they sang the song of the Lamb as the tribulation come in, and as they went out, they sang the songs of the Lamb. Everything being typical, everything being so wonderful, right at this time, the man-child caught up, ruling with the rod of iron, the millennium coming in, which takes the man-child, causes the man-child to sit upon the throne of David to rule throughout that 1,000 years just before the celestial comes in. It's such a beautiful, coordinated thing that God would, if I went on and on here, speak to you and tell you on and on His great, wonderful mind. The Lord impresses me from time to time to share a little bit, to bring a little bit, and to tie it in with the present day happenings to where you can know that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ all the way back from the historical side through the present day truth over to the future, that all of it is just one. And it ties in together that you might realize it's not just some sporadic nightmare that I've come into or thought up or something that I myself have conjured up. That it all beautifully fits together as one great puzzle from everlasting to everlasting, or from the beginning of the world to the consummation of the world. And it beautifully fits together in every way, I can assure you that. They that understand, they that see, they understand that it is the mind of Jesus Himself making an expose that they might know the wonderful things of God. And so then in this, with the supper coming in and everything being at an end the way it is, it makes us to know that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. Everything, all things having been done well and fulfilled, everything falling into place, and especially right here at the very year as it comes in, this year coming in, scientists having said that it would be the end of the world, so far as the calamities and all of these things happening in the heavens, in as much as the heavens is going to be all out of sorts as the planets line up one with another. Now then, everything is pointing to it, whether it happens or not, is pointing to it. It's all perfectly in order, and it's just right to prove what God said, and that's the important thing. And whatever He does, and whenever He does it, it'll be just exactly right. There won't be no mistakes, no shortcomings. As somebody said, He never gets in a hurry, but He is never late. He always does everything, and He does it well. Seeing this, it's so wonderful. And that we read to you tonight that concerning the coming of the child, growing in wisdom and favor with man and God, increased in stature, and amazed the wise men as He come to take His place upon the throne of David to rule throughout eternity. What a wonderful thought tonight when we think that God Himself will speak to us in the day we're living in. The Bible said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." It is God that is speaking, and it is you that can hear what God is saying if you are one of His sheep. My sheep know my voice. A stranger they will not follow. At this time, these things fitting together, the casting out of the red dragon, the redemption of the body, the crossing of the Jordan, Joshua and our brother Conrad, as I said, coming from out in California, automobiles having to do with bodies, and he having left off with selling automobiles in California, all of a sudden comes here and buys out a car lot here and goes back into the business here. Now, and he picked up that car lot just before it went out because it was having problems in that corruption had set in. He took it out of the darkness, as we say, into the light, because he took it from a black man that was not a Christian, that was gambling and whatever and drinking and all these kind of things. And Brother Conrad bringing in sonship or the light, he went and picked it up to restore it. It's a beautiful thing, the area that it's in. It's right across from the recreation. We've been talking about the recreation of Brother Branham, you know. And God having used our brother there from California in such a way, he wanted it to be just exactly right. So he had him to build the recreational center in front of it, or build the car lot across in front of the recreational center. And today we've been talking about Brother Shelby, the recreation, or where Brother Branham spoke of the third act or the third move, the resurrection, or the squirrels are speaking into existence, or the restoring of that which had been taken away. Well, as we know, that also has to do with the restoration of the body of Jesus, in that the body of Jesus has been mutilated, arms taken away and legs taken away, and some of God's people have been driven away that was arms and legs to the body because of the abuse of the ministry or the false brothers and sisters. But God said he would gather them all and there'd not be any of them lost except the son of perdition, said he would be lost. But otherwise, there would be none of them that would be lost. He said, I've not lost to one of them, Father. Every one that you've given me, I'll raise him up in the last days. But it's such a wonderful thing, and as I said, I could go on and on, talk to you a long time here, but I could go on and on talking about the wonderful things of Jesus. But I want you to stop and I want you to think. This thing is serious, folks. Our ambition and desire is world evangelism, Pentecost. Go into all the world. You know, they tried to build a tower to heaven. They failed because Nimrod was in it, and it was the tower of confusion. It had to do with the Catholic Church and the Babylonian system that's reached all the way from back yonder over to the present day. They tried to build it and they failed. The reason was that they rejected the cornerstone, so God confounded their language. They couldn't speak the same thing. But on the day of Pentecost, when they accepted Jesus as the cornerstone, then they finally got together and gave him his proper place. Rather than confounding their language and scatter them, he did like we're doing today. The translations came as it's coming today, and all nations is coming into one mind and one accord. One tongue, even the tongue of Jesus Christ, or salvation, the kingdom of God, or the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is God bringing in a Pentecost. So then at Pentecost, God started that tower again to build a tower to heaven out of that great pyramid city, which was New Jerusalem, coming down from God. And brethren, we've been able, as the children of God, to build that tower. And we built that tower unto heaven, and it's reached unto heaven, and that great capstone has gone right through the clouds into the heavenlies, because we gave Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, his rightful place. And we made him the head of the corner, and all of the stones have fit together gracefully into that one lovely Lord and Savior, the great preeminence. Now then, the mind of Jesus pulling all of these things together, we see it here in this very hour, and it will soon be manifested to where your eyes will be able to see that holy city of jewels as it sets down upon the earth. I already see it. Some others already see it. But the thing is, it has to do with the rapture when I come to make up my jewels. That is the stones. That is when the headstone, the prize jewel, comes. All of the other jewels or stones will fit themselves together, fitly framed together. Paul said, by my teaching, which is the blueprint of God, even the revelation of Jesus Christ. For I am the wise master builder, he said. So then in this, we see it all fitting together so beautifully.
God allowing us to build that tower that they could not build. Languages all over the world, just like the Indonesian move, coming together, the supper right here, right at this time, that great, wonderful translation on the verge of taking place. And why? Because the Bible said when the gospel of this of the kingdom has been published in all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. And what is the gospel of the kingdom? The Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom has been preached, and men pressed their way into the kingdom of God. And the gospel of the kingdom is this: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. No longer in heaven, but it is at hand. Repent, receive you the gospel. And the Bible says God has since then been translating men into the marvelous kingdom of God. Getting the last one into the kingdom, the door shut to the Gentiles. And then, folks, it's all over. And everything's closing out. We said that in many sermons, a part here and a part there. And we're going to continue to point it out as the mysteries of God are finished. It's not strange to me that at this very moment they have just finished water baptism, which has to do with the resurrection, and they're just fixing to come out with the thunders. They just have finished them, and they're fixing to come out with the thunders where the angel said the finishing of the mysteries. And right at this moment, the truck coming in from Brother Wilson, the writings on it in the days of the voice of the last angel, or the seventh angel. It is really amazing when it all fits together. It is so beautiful, so wonderful, and even the foundations that we have drawn up, you know, the 24 elders, the 12 chiefs, all relating to Christ, all relating to the lovely mind of our Lord and Savior, Him having the preeminence in all things. The plane ready. The rapture at hand. Everything just right. I want you to stand together. You need to think it over, folks. You need to live holy, godly, pure, and just, and righteous. Because the Lord hears when you gossip. The Lord hears when you backbite. The Lord hears when you tear things down. And when you get together with another brother or sister and you start talking about things that you ought not to talk about, God hears when you get overconfident that because you are you, you can get by with it when others cannot. God hears when you get careless and unconcerned, won't pay attention, and you resent the minister in your heart, and you resent him in your mind, and you're not going to submit your mind and spirit to him like all the rest. God hears, God sees, God knows. That's where the problems, the heartaches, and the woes, and the sufferings, and the misery, and the loss of your soul comes in. God has no specialties. God is no respecter person. Though we may think ourselves special, God doesn't. What I say unto one, I say unto all. And what did he say unto all? Fear, lest you be cut off, lest the promise of entering into his rest be taken from you. So then, don't ever feel any way but one way, and that's the right way. That's the right way. You love Jesus? They're talking about blasting the shuttle off maybe Wednesday, is it? I think they held up on account of the hurricane. Thought about that hurricane and that rapture, catching away. And even if they did go up on Wednesday, it would be just perfect for the middle of the week. I think they had it scheduled for catching up in the middle of the week anyway. You know, the man child. So wonderful to be a Christian. So wonderful to know what's going on and look all over the world in every nook and corner and in the great places of the great dignitaries of the presidents, and look down in the lowest places of them that's on Skid Row, and see the ministry and see the religious, see natural, physically, and spiritually in every phase or walk of life, the mind of God and what it's all about, even from everlasting to everlasting. Comprehending the heights, the depths, the width, the length, getting an all-over picture in that you let this mind be in you that comprehended it, the mind of Jesus Christ. Even the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, which alone has the revelation of Jesus Christ, that it might give to us proportionally according to our measure, whatsoever we're willing to submit to Him. That is not being religious and coming to church, not just giving in the offering, but rather having that sweet, loving spirit at all times on the inside. Not turning again to lay the foundation of saying, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it, do better the next time. That is the foundation of repentance. But going on unto charity, that is unto perfection, the bond of perfection, charity, that sweet, loving spirit, that spirit of Christ Jesus, that spirit that edifies, not a knowledge that puffeth up, you know, that causes us to come up with quotes and the quotations of the Bible, or being able to quote Scripture, or wrestling one with another, evil men of evil minds with evil disputes of corruption, but coming up with the spirit of charity, the edifying spirit that makes us to know all things, not having a personal ambition to project ourselves, to put others down and magnify ourselves at the expense of destroying the character and name of someone else. Not using someone to project ourselves, but rather having the spirit of charity, the bond of perfectness, that we might have the perfect faith of Jesus Christ that works by love or charity, to translate us as it was with Enoch, by faith, that we should not see death, to receive this wonderful glorified body. Faith, there's a beautiful thing, faith, justification. Justification by faith of Jesus Christ. Hope, there's a beautiful thing, the sanctification of your soul. And the justification of your spirit by faith, translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. But a sanctification by hope, a sanctification, an inward sanctification of your soul by hope. For it is Christ within you, the sanctification of glory, unto glory or the hope of glory. Even again, by what He did at Calvary. For He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, the translation of your spirit into the kingdom of God. He will baptize you with fire, the application of His blood to your soul, to burn out the chaff. And then faith, hope, charity, the last of these, charity, that wonderful divine glorification of your body, the bond of perfection, faith that ye should not see death, even glorification as He's baptized you into His wonderful body of His death to bring you forth to that holy resurrection, death being behind you, resurrecting from the dead to die no more. Faith, hope, charity, even the glorification in that Christ Himself comes and you receive the magnificence of glorification through your bodily baptism of witting the redemption of the body, water for the body, blood for the soul, and spirit for your angelic being. What a wonderful, marvelous thing. Three bear witness in the earth, water, blood, and spirit. These three agree in one. All pointing to Him. Three bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are the one that all of the three witnesses points to. What a blessed, wonderful event to be a Christian. We saw the water from the garden to Noah. That was the first over the earth, and the water came and the body was cleansed. We saw the cleansing of the soul as from Noah over to Calvary, when the blood was continually spilt by Moses as that to cleanse the soul, which had to do with the physical being of mankind or the beastly part. And then from Calvary over to the coming of the Lord, the translation, we see the translation of the Spirit, the angelic teachings of the Holy Spirit Himself, the great Holy Spirit, as it becomes a spiritual Jew or a spiritual Christian. The quickening Jesus, who was a quickening spirit, not to know any man after the beastly part of flesh anymore, but to know him after the spirit, the angelic part. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Noah, Moses, and Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. But we should never think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, soberly, according to the measure of faith. I had a vision night before last, I believe it was. Might have been last night, but it was last night. And there was a man came to me. He's one of the leaders here at the church. He came to me, and he gave me a word that he had gotten from God, he said. And he told me thus and thus. Whether the word be of God, the Lord knows. But in the vision, it was very unfavorable toward me. And I said to the man, I said, God did not tell you to tell me that. And because you told me that, God will kill you. And the man straightway fell backwards on the ground or earth, floor, whatever it was. Though he wasn't dead, yet it was an instantaneous thing. The man more or less mocked me, and he felt like that he was highly favored of God, and that the people did not want to hear me, they did not care for me, because I had reproved them and rebuked them. And because of that, they had separated themselves from me. And he made me to know that he felt he was a very handsome fellow, and that the people favored him because of his fleshly appearance, that he was so much more handsome than I was. And he went off with this air and this attitude and let me know that he would not be with me anymore. And it was such a thing, as he was carried away in it, that one of the other people, the best I remember, the person is also standing here tonight that got carried away with him and was being carried away with what was happening. But whatever the vision, whatever the Lord meant, the Lord knows. It's up to God as to what he meant. This was the vision. But I do say one thing, that we should be careful in whatever we do. Not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but to think soberly according to the measure of faith that God has dealt unto us. Let's sing this little chorus together. Try another key, friend. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Sing it again. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Don't you love Jesus? Jesus is so wonderful. You know, at Bethlehem, those that really believe, you've got everything. Did you know that we've got everything? I say this so often, we've got Jesus, and Jesus is everything. When you've got Jesus, you've got everything. For the Bible said all things are yours. And without Jesus, you don't have anything. For all things are taken from you and given to another. God said to Saul, because thou hast rejected my word, then God has rejected thee. So then if we reject God's word, God will reject us. But if we love God, we establish God's word, we give Him the preeminence and give Him the glory and raise Him up in the eyes of the people. He said, if I be lifted up, they'll come to me, they'll hear me, and I'll draw all men unto me. He was lifted up at Calvary, and all men must come unto Him. For everything in heaven, everything in the earth, everything above the earth, below the earth, everything must look to Calvary and praise Him. So if we lift Him up and lift up Calvary, all men will come unto Him. To magnify Jesus is the ultimate goal of our life. I want Brother Armstrong to come, if he will, pray the prayer, the closing prayer. I want him to pray for your body, your spirit, your prosperity. I want you to lift your hands up. I say this so many times. When you lift your hands up, the Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. You know, when you lift your hands up, that reminds God of Calvary. He sees Jesus hanging on the cross. And when He sees Jesus, He forgets about your sins, for that numbers you with Him. And thus God blesses you, and thus God pours out His great Spirit upon you to meet all of your needs and to help you. Praise God. Brother Gary, we come.